every Sunday on radio station WBLS in New York, disc jockey Hal Jackson plays the blues.
A little shake, rattle, and roll. That's our man, Big Joe Turner. And you are our favorites because you are our listeners. And this is Hal Jackson on Sunday Classics.
Jackson started spinning the platters that matter when he was 24. He's now 85, and he's still at it. Hal Jackson's story as one of the first black disc jockeys is told in a new autobiography, The House That Jack Built. Nancy Marshall has more.
Hit rewind. Go back 62 years. World War II has just started. It's 1939 in segregated Washington, D.C. Hal Jackson, a former janitor and baseball announcer, has just walked into WINX radio. He wants to be on the air, but he has no experience. There are no black disc jockeys in Washington, and the station manager wants to keep it that way. Hal Jackson.
He said to me, use the N-word. No N will ever work on this radio station, and I doubt any others. They're none working in Washington, you know. I said, well, that's not the point. I said, I know how much it would mean to the black people of Washington if we had a show.
Jackson went looking for sponsors. He signed up the African-American owner of a string of barbecue restaurants and recruited a white-owned advertising agency, Ehrlich & Merrick, which bought a block of time on WINX. In the 30s, advertisers purchased hours of broadcast time and then decided what to put on the air. The WINX management didn't bat an eye when the Ehrlich & Merrick agency bought 15 minutes of broadcast time, six nights a week, from 11 to 11:15. Jackson says on the first night in November of 1939, he and his guest showed up at the station 15 minutes before airtime.
Everybody was stunned, and I was scheduled to go on. They couldn't locate the manager wherever he was. Anyway, we went on the air, and the phones just lit up.
Don't worry and don't even have a sneeze. In the house of Jackville, everything is cozy and warm. And look out for little Joe in the Pentagon.
There's a plane.
Jackson's philosophy was that the power of money can overcome racial barriers. He called his show The House That Jack Built. Soon, he was also on the air in Baltimore and New York. Jackson invented an imaginary house and took listeners on a tour. He started by introducing guests from the living room and then spun the hottest hits from the kitchen, songs by B.B. King, Frank Sinatra.
We've got them all the big hits of 22 in front of three, and to prove it, here's Ray Charles.
In a sense, Jackson made the radio his home. He sometimes even slept at the station. He was married four times and says he didn't spend a lot of time with his kids. He concentrated on becoming a community leader.
I just looked upon myself as, I'm going to do something, and I know I have the blessings and help. And it wasn't a thing that I was just over-religious, but I had a lot of faith. I had a lot of faith that things would happen to you if you're a good person.
Jackson organized and then hosted integrated concerts. He helped integrate the swimming pool at the Palisades Amusement Park in New Jersey and raised money for needy families in New York.
Tomorrow night is the big night over at the Abyssinian Baptist Church when the Parent Teachers Association presents Miss Catherine Eason, the fabulously talented coloratura soprano, in a great concert. It'll benefit the Vermont Project to help the youngsters who go up to Vermont this coming summer.
During this period of time, there were no black judges, there were no black politicians, especially in the South.
William Barlow is a professor at Howard University. He teaches a course on the history of black DJs. He says in the 1940s, black leadership came from churches and schools and, gradually, DJs.
They formed sort of an informal network, sort of a grapevine among the black DJs for the, you know, especially for Martin Luther King and the Southern Christian Leadership Movement.
I'm delighted to see each of you here tonight. In spite of a storm warning, you reveal that you are determined to go on anyhow.
When Martin Luther King came to Washington in the late 1950s, Hal Jackson was one of the first people he visited. Jackson interviewed Dr. King on his show and aired some of King's speeches live. He hosted fundraisers for the Southern Christian Leadership Council. Then Jackson's career hit a snag. In the late 1950s, he was charged with taking money from record companies in exchange for playing their songs on the radio. Fingers were also pointed at white DJs in what became known as the Payola scandal. Professor Barlow says there's a reason Jackson was targeted by New York prosecutors.
Powell was also very active in the NARA, the National Association of Radio and Announcers, from the 50s on, which, you know, in the 60s also played a significant role in the civil rights struggle. It's kind of natural that he would be a target of that, but luckily he kept good books and they couldn't touch him.
The press followed the story avidly. Jackson was fired. Eventually, the payola charges were dropped.
I had no job, no way to take care of my family after that. So here I was, Mr. Big Shot, cleaning buildings at night so I could take care of my family.
Jackson eventually found his way back to the spotlight. He did several stints in TV. In 1971, he started the Miss Black Teenage America contest, which eventually became a talented teen contest.
Tonight, the 17th annual Talented Teen International Contest. And we're happy that you came. You love our little ladies. You love them.
Today, Jackson sees himself as an advocate for African-American teens, but he says young people aren't drawn to him as they were in the 1950s. Jackson believes kids today have turned to rap idols. He singled out some of these musicians, who often write violent lyrics, and asked them why they're putting out these messages.
I said, I have nothing against the rapping, but what are you putting in there? Are you building hate? Are you building not caring about yourself? Are you giving them an incentive to want to do something with their lives? And they say, yeah, well, they don't want to hear that. I said, that's not true. You're not giving it to them. You've got to give these people big hopes, big dreams. All right, we got 10 minutes in front of 9 o'clock. Hal Jackson, Debbie B, and Clay Berry, it's all for you. And here's Don Garden and Dee Dee Fuller.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Jackson says African-American kids today face different barriers than he did, and perhaps those barriers are more subtle. But Jackson thinks he has some timeless advice.
If you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you'd like to win and think that you can't, it's almost a cinch that you won't. Think that you can, and you will. It's all in your state of mind.
Anyway, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, bless your hearts for being with us. You've made us number one in every category. That means a lot of our listeners are young. They're all ages, and we try to just please everybody here on Sunday Classics, all the way.
At age 85, Hal Jackson has had to cut back a bit, but he still gets up early every Sunday morning to be ready to do his show on WBLS.
All right, this is Tessie Hill. Great things.
The house that Jack built is still standing tall. Nancy Marshall, NPR News, Washington.